Welcome to the School of Purpose, our first School of Purpose program of Revealers Church Network. I welcome everyone on this, also this evening, in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit. In the next few minutes, we should be starting the radio. We're going live on the radio channel as the conference line is open this morning, this evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Beloved, as we come into the presence of the Lord tonight, can we lift up our voices to magnify the name of the Lord from around the world? As we come into his presence, Father, we honor you, we exalt you, we magnify your holy name. We thank you because you are our teacher, you are our instructor, you are the builder of this church, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for being mindful of us. We thank you for your word that is coming to us this evening. We give you praise in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you because even as we gather from around the world, especially the Prevailers Church Network in the United Kingdom, we have come to learn of you. We have come to be taught of you. Therefore, we open our hearts to the engrafted word of God that is able to save our soul. So we have come with an attitude of gratitude. We have come with the heart of thanksgiving unto you, the eternal God, the everlasting Father, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have prayed. Amen. Beloved, the Son of the Lord, the word of the Lord, said, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great, and great is the great. He is feared above all gods. Our God is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heaven, and honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Therefore, as we give God thanks this evening, we want to speak unto the Lord in the next 8 minutes, magnifying the Lord, our God is great. Is greater than the sons of many waters. It's the Lord God Almighty. In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, our God. How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord. How good it is. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he has healed the broken thing, blinded all the world. It is good to praise his holy name. We will give thanks unto our Savior with our acts of gratitude, for giving praise. His mercy shall endure forever, and we will worship you on the how good it is to give thanks unto the Lord. How good it is We are soldiers. Our soul is founded. Oh, Lord, we give you all the glory, must be yours. That's all. For he is worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be, all the glory must be. All the glory must be to our God. O man, on earth, shall give glory to himself. All the glory must be. All the glory must be. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, oh, praise the King. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else has such fire like you. I can say to all eternity on earth, there is none like you. I can say to all eternity long and found, there is none like you. I can say to all eternity long and found, there is none like you. Beloved, this evening, can you begin to tell him how much you love him? There is none like our God, no other God beside him. Can you begin to say to the Lord, I love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I love him with all of my strength, with everything that is within me. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you because you love me. That everlasting love, your mind is full of me, and you bring me to remembrance at all times. Therefore, I have to thank you as my King, as my God, as my Master and my Maker, as my glory and the lifter up of my head. In the mighty name of the Lord. Beloved, in the next 2 minutes, Pastor Jerome will be taking Pastor Jerome Achimas Kumasi, the founder of Revelers Church Network, will be taking the School of Purpose this evening in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. But before Pastor takes over in the next 2 minutes, I want you to know that Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God begins to speak to the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final hour. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and eat. Then you will seek me, inquire, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." So as the school of Paul is going to pick up this evening, I want you to lift up your voice and say to the Lord, "Lord, as my word comes tonight, help me to discover the plan, the thought, the purposes, the desires of God that ask for my life before the foundation of the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, help me by your sense word tonight to discover the purposes, the plan, the thought that you think towards me, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. That thought, they are of peace, they are not of evil. They are taught to give a future and a hope. And beloved, that thought is to aid us to be what God has ordained for us to be." So you are saying, "Lord, let my word come to activate the divine purpose of God in my life. Let my word come. Let my word come. Let my word come to propel me to be, as you are teaching me today, to locate your divine agenda, your divine purpose, your divine plan for my life, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are praying. Amen." When you locate your purpose, it says, "Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and eat you. Then you will seek me and inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." You are saying to the Lord, "As I sit in this school of purpose today, in the mighty name of Jesus, let there be an activation of a divine love of God in my heart to draw me closer to God, in order that I might be what God has called me to be, in the mighty name of Jesus." So it must draw us to know God more. Paul says that I might know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Philippians 3:10. So you are saying to the Lord, "Let there be a stirring in my heart to desire more of you, to know you more, to be like you, to be conformed to your image, to be your instrument that is sent to the platforms of God to manifest divine purpose and divine plan to extend the kingdom of God on earth, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen." Father, we are ready for your word tonight, for it that hunger and thirst for your word shall be filled. So as Pastor Dero begins to share the word of the Lord in this school of purpose with us, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you will fill us with the remnant of your word, and every word that we receive tonight become, oh God, that which we respond to in taking the step of faith in the direction of the word, that every soul on this altar tonight will discover their purpose, will come to a place of developing their purpose, and run with the divine purpose of God for our lives, that we can be the instrument of God that is sent across the nations of the earth to advance the kingdom of God and become those who model Christ everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Jerome, I'm introducing to some, and for some who had already been part of the inauguration service that we had on Sunday, Pastor Jerome is the founder of Prevailers Church Network in Nigeria, which started for over 20 years ago. We are privileged to have him, so he's taking this session tonight all the way from Nigeria. So this is your moment to take a hold of divine purpose, even as we come to this session in Jesus' name. God bless you. Pastor Jerome, over to you.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I want to congratulate all my listeners tonight. It's enough joy to share the word of God with you on this platform. And the reason for my congratulatory message is that I believe you are going somewhere in life. And I believe God has a definite plan for your life. This you have discovered, and that's why you're on this network as we are sharing the word of God together. It's only because of the hope that is set before us that is why we are together tonight. And I want to congratulate you because I'm persuaded of better things concerning you. I believe that you are going to make it to the end.
Amen.
And I want to realize that the end of our faith, it's not our happy achievement. It's not the material things we've been able to gather all our life. The end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. And it's very important that we take note of this. We are not of those that fall into perdition, but of those that believe to the saving of the soul. What is under a strong contention in our life today is our soul. And that's why we must all go out for soul salvation. And the only way through which God guarantees the salvation of our soul is by the instrumentality of the word of God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, he said, the word of eternal life, which is able to save your soul. A lot of folks today don't have regard for this word of God. Why? Because their ultimate goal in life is not the salvation of their soul, because they have mental knowledge of God and they have a natural perception of God's plan and purpose. So they have settled down and back out into a life of complacency, and they are contented with all the materials where God really has something that is spiritual for them and he has eternal blessing for them. I want you to know and get it clear in your spirit that God, what God purchased for you is not just freedom from demonic assault. What God has purchased for you is eternal redemption. Then you must go all out to ensure that you do not receive the grace of God in vain. You must go all out and ensure that the devil does not rob you of your eternal destiny. And I want to congratulate you tonight because you have made the right choice for yourself. You've been on this platform. It shows that you are out for the salvation of your soul. Shall we bow down our heads for prayer? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we trust you for illumination tonight, for utterance. We ask, oh God, the words of God that will move our life forward. That's what we trust you to release into our life tonight.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, glory to God. I'll be sharing with you for the next few weeks by the special grace of God on training your spirit to walk in the truth of God's word. Training your spirit to walk in the truth of God's word. You got to learn to train your spirit to follow the word of God, to follow the truth. Even when your body do not really desire to follow the truth of God's word, you must learn to begin to train your spirit to stay committed to the word of God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Because that is the only way your future in God is guaranteed. The truth is the agent of the Holy Ghost that is sent to break us from the hand of our enemy, and it guarantees our eternity with God. When you walk in the path of truth, I want you to know that it's sure and certain that you will make it to the end. Amen and amen. I'm taking my text from the book of Titus chapter 2, The Bible says the spirit of grace that bringeth salvation to all men teacheth us to say no to sin, denying all ungodliness, that we may shine as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I want you to know that we are living in the age of perversity. We are living in an age whereby the devil is twisting the truth. He knows that the only way for you to be acceptable unto God is for you to walk in the truth of God's word. So there's a lot of prayer on our spirit to do what is pleasing in our sight, to live for what will make us to be happy rather than what will make God glad. When you walk in the truth of God's word, that's when you put a smile on the face of the Most High. We are saved so that we can walk in the truth. We are saved so that we can live by the truth. We are saved by the truth, and we must stand as a witness for the truth wherever we find ourselves in our walks of life. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Need for you to train your spirit. Your spirit got to be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. So your spirit got to be strong enough in order for you to be able to walk in the truth of God's word. Because the enemy will always stand as a stiff opposition against you walking in the truth. He can allow you to walk in error, to do what is pleasing in your sight. That is why it's very, very important that you know the truth of God's word and to come to love the truth of God's word so that you can walk in the truth of God's word. Because if you don't know the truth, you won't even know when you are walking narrow. And it's very, very important for us to know this truth and begin to fall in love with God. When you know the truth, the Bible says in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Because when you know the truth, it's not just enough to have a mental knowledge of the truth, but you have the revelationary knowledge of the truth. And Jesus was revealing himself to the disciples. And he said to them, whom do people say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. When you know the truth of God's word, you have the revelationary knowledge of the truth of God's love towards you as a person, the gates of hell cannot prevail over you. Hallelujah. And see, it doesn't matter what the kind of storm that is beating hard against your life and putting your destiny under pressure, putting your mind under a strong contention and pressure. When you know the truth about the love of God, the love that brought you into the kingdom of God, I want you to know that you cannot be overcome by the power of the enemy.
Amen.
The Bible says this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in the truth of God's love. Because when you know the truth of God's love and you begin to you begin to believe in, you begin to put your confidence in the truth, you begin to learn to fall in love with the truth of God's word. I want you to know that the devil cannot take you for a ride any longer. Wherever you find yourself in all walks of life, you are going to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen and amen. And that is the will of God for our life. And that I pray every time that we stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Amen.
All there are prayer around our lives today. We face challenges that want us to go the other way around. The devil always sees that we lead a contrasted life. But at this juncture, when we realize that the only way to walk in victory over that fasting is for us to have faith in the truth of God's love and begin to grow in grace, then you realize that you are going to beat the devil to him. You are not going to fall for what have made many people to become a fall away in the kingdom of God. Because the devil has to deceive that you and I live a contrasted life, a life that is displeasing unto God. Most times, we thought we are walking in the truth. When we are just following our own mental knowledge, we are just following our own idea. It's not all about your own personal idea. It's all about following the truth of God's word. That's why you've got to learn to train your mind all through our lives. We've been trained to follow our senses. Every time you touch something that is hot, you know, something, you know, implicitly, you know, I mean, you know, intuitively, you understand, you know that there's something dangerous ahead, then you begin to move away from that thing. You trust in your senses. The same way you've got to begin to develop your spiritual sense. And as you begin to develop your spiritual sense to be committed to the truth of God's word, then you know that you are walking in the path of salvation. Because only those who are walking in the truth that have the truth, that have their future secured in God. Amen and amen. So don't trust senses. That's the reason why the calling of God upon our life do not give us the privilege of walking in the flesh. God has called us to lead a life in the spirit. I love what Paul the Apostle said. He said, you know, he said, we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. We walk not by sight. We walk by faith. We walk not by sight. We walk by faith. So it's not, you know, it's not something you handle casually, but you must learn to lead the kind of spiritual life that God wants you to lead. That's why, that's the essence of this training that we are talking about. The Bible says those people that got their senses developed, you understand, because they have exercised themselves in the things of the Spirit. The Bible says, profit me too. But it's time for us to begin to exercise our life, ourselves, in godliness. The Bible says it counts for the life that is now is and the world to come. When we face challenges in our life, you know, things occur to us that, well, you just follow your mind. You just follow your brain. You just follow your head. You just follow what the society believes. You just follow the perversity of the time. You just follow the trend of your generation. If your spirit is not robust enough and has been trained to be committed to the truth of God's word, I tell you, the devil is going to get you down. Thank God, Jesus' life was committed to following the truth. He himself is the truth. He followed the truth rigidly. Even when his calling came under a strong attack, even from the Jewish people, he said to them, he said, you know, before Abraham, he said, I was. In other words, he was looking at his existence. You understand? That he had been existing before their father Abraham. And they pick up stones and they wanted to stone him. He said, what do you mean that you are older than our father Abraham? He said, but that is what the document of glory said to me. He said to me that, you know, he said to me that I'm superior to your father Abraham. That's what God said to me, because I am the son of the living God. But the Jewish people don't want to take side with it. As you know, the simple answer I gave to them is this. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter, those of you that you are following your head or you are following your brain, you become, it doesn't, you know, appear the way you want it to appear. You know, it beats your imagination and your natural expectation. He said, you have made him a liar. He said, but I will hold on to his word. I will never make God to be a liar. See, the devil wants us to begin to believe some things about ourselves that the Bible has not recorded concerning our life. I want you to be well acquainted with what is written about you. And what is written is forever written. Hallelujah. You know, because the devil wants you to begin to believe differently. Jesus was asked, and the devil took him to task. And he said, if you are the Son of God, if you are, you see, there are times that we face challenges in our lives, that it looks no, it brings challenges our faith and what we believe. No, we begin to feel that God is saying, if I'm your child, God, but why is that all these things are happening to me? The devil, that's the way the devil tries to manipulate our destiny. That's why we see a lot of people today who are not really living as true sons of God. They've thrown away the confidence that they have in God. They are living a contracted life. They are not living as those people, you know, as people that are blood washed any longer. Simply because they're beginning to believe the lies of the devil. And you know, Jesus said to me, I don't need to prove anything. I don't need, because I believe in the truth. The situation around me does not look like I am the Son of God, because what the devil talks about God is different from who God actually is. You know, because most of us, when we feel that God always raises up spoiled children, we think in our mind, we feel, well, if it is good, then it is God. But do you know there's something called the affliction of the people of God? There are times you are going through such a process so that you can step into your purpose and destiny in God. You know that God most often does not want to treat us as bastards. He wants to treat us as true sons. That's why we go through some things in our life so that in the final analysis, we end up becoming a partaker of His divine nature. When we are going through such process that will make us to graduate from baby life to sonship, when we begin to manifest the fullness of Christ, the devil is going to challenge our faith. He's going to tell you, well, if you are going through this, you are going through that, God is not your God any longer. But you know what the scripture says in James chapter 1, count it all joy. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 says, you know, he says God is treating you as sons, not as bastards, because it's the son that the father loves that is chastised. No, come on. You see, some of us, we are going through a process in our life, a process of reformation, a process of change. God has to remove all the cobwebs in our mind. God has to remove all the dirty things in our life. God has to really come out and contend with the enemy that resides in our soul. All the enemy of our destiny. All the negative nature that we carry. If that those things begin to come under attack, so that God can drive them out by the stroke of His rod and by the breath of His nostril. You know, people around us are not going to understand. That's why when people don't even know what they are doing, you better know what you are doing. I love what Jesus said to those guys. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But thank God Jesus knew what he's doing. That's why it's not enough for you to have a mental knowledge of God. You must have a revelationary knowledge of God. You must be baptized and immersed into the love of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Because if not, the devil will make him to fall flat on your face. Hallelujah. But Jesus lived a victorious life because he actually knew the truth. It's not just that he knows the truth. He himself is the truth. The Bible says that, and the Bible says in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. You know, the truth himself came under strong contention. The devil wanted him to begin to believe wrongly. If you are the Son of God, how come you find yourself walking in this, you find yourself in this present condition of yours? But he knew that the Father was actually treating him as a son, not as bastard. And I tell you, you're not going to have anything less. Why? Because the purpose of Christ's coming is to bring many sons unto glory. That which do not glorify God in our life have to be cleansed out from our life. That's why we've got to, you know, stay open to the truth of God's word, you know, so that we can be thoroughly purged and cleansed by the word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that God is washing the church with the water by the word of God, so that he can present unto himself a church without spot nor wrinkle. See, the devil wants us to begin to believe in something that is not of God. He didn't want us to put our faith in the truth of God's word. Some of us, you begin to believe in your present condition. Why? Because people are beginning to call you names. You know, they'll begin to, you know, use your present condition to give you a name, man. They'll begin to say, well, that's how far your God can go. But you know that your God can go beyond that. That's not what the scripture says about you. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. I mean, you don't need anybody to tell you that you are a son of God. If you believe according to the scripture, the Bible says those who have Christ have life. The Bible says when you believe with your heart and, you know, you confess in your mouth, it says you are saved. It says in John chapter 1, as many as received him, he gets power to become sons of God. In the book of 1 John, the Bible says, what manner of love is this that the Father established upon us for us to be called sons of God? But you see, this truth most of the time comes under strong contention. That's the reason why a lot of us cannot live out our conscience. But that is what the truth of God's word says. Don't allow the devil to use your present situation and condition to manipulate your destiny, to talk you out of the truth. You must learn to begin to believe the truth of God's word in the age of adversity. You know, we are living in a time that a lot of people thought that godliness is a means for financial gain. They want to use your material blessings, you know, to raise a level of endorsement and approval by God. They want you to begin to have a feeling. Since you don't have these, you don't have that, you are deprived of these, you don't have access to these, then God will not approve your life. You are less a son of God than those that have all of those things. But listen to me, you are not less a son of God. That's why some of us cannot afford to face some challenges of life. Why? Because we don't know what the society will think about us. We are always afraid of the way the society will treat us. That's why, you know, as a result, you know, by compromise, we try to hold on to some positions. We try to hold on to unto false life. Listen to me. It is not your material prosperity that qualifies you to be a son of God. It's Jesus that qualifies you and I by his precious blood. The ground is level at the cross. So you've got to begin to believe and get that one stuffed into your memory lane. That it doesn't make God love me less. It doesn't reduce me or stop me from being the son of God. And God has not said, I've disowned you. Listen to me. The world may disown you. Listen to me. You know, today you have things. People are going to gather around your life. They're going to begin to praise you. We're going to have a lot of psychopaths and praise singers. We're going to have many friends all around you. But listen to me, when you begin to suffer lack, when things begin to happen, go the other way around. When you come under the mighty hand of God, and God is taking you through a process, a lot of your friends, like your friends of truth, they're going to move away from you. But listen to me, that's a sign that you are a true son of God. You must begin to believe the truth of God's word, not what the society tells you, not the way the society treats you, not the position the society places you, not what the perceive you to be in life. I'm going to see a lot of ministers today. They are living their life like societal perception. The first way, what makes me to be a renowned minister, to be a great servant of God, is for me to have a very big church, to have peace, to have that. That's what the society believes. But your calling qualifies you to operate in the fivefold ministry. And God does not call you because you are strong. God does not call you because you are more intelligent than other people. He said, consider your calling worthy. Not many nobles were called. Because I perceive today there are a lot of people who are beginning to, you know, disbelieve their calling. Listen to me. The Bible says the gift and the calling of God, they are irrevocable. We begin to feel that one minister is superior to the other because he has a larger crowd, he has a larger congregation, he has a material, he has an influence, he has a status quo, he has every other thing in place. He said, but consider your calling, brethren. Not many nobles were called. That's why you've got to realize that it's a great privilege for you to be called, and you've got to value it and cherish it. It doesn't really matter the way the society perceives you. You are not the way the society perceives you. You are the way you perceive yourself is in line of the truth of God's word. I've made up my mind, I will be a stickler to the truth. Because the devil can drive you mad if you don't be you are not a stickler to the truth. You see, there are a lot of questions that come to your mind most of the time. You know, you can't afford to answer those questions from your head. If you give that chance to your head, listen to me, your head is going to misdirect you. He said, he confirmed not with flesh and blood. If you call your flesh into conference and say, you do do it, am I a true minister? Do I really have a calling? When last I preach in a very big congregation, how much money do I have in my account? How many important personalities really know me? Do I have a television? Do I have a television ministry? Do I have a radio ministry? Do I have this? Then I'm not called of God. But this is the way you must begin to value your calling. And begin to realize that God, who is great in the ministry of Peter to the Jews, is also great in the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. What makes the difference is the one who has called you. God has not made a minister to be superior to another minister. Praise the name of the Lord. You must begin to believe the truth of God's word, because you cannot discharge all the responsibilities of your ministry if you allow the devil to tie you down into a wrong belief system. And that's the way the society treats us today. I've been in places before, and people will say, well, these people are bishops. Even if they are people that, you know, I've seen people that you're the one that's wrong. You understand? The believer class for them. You, they are still in the choir. You understand? When you have started ministry, you understand? But they become bishops. They become hard and anything that, you know, carry those big titles. And I'm going to tell you, there's a place for the bishop. There's a place for the reverend. There's a place for the, you know, for the pastors. You understand? Please, who has made you to be, you know, someone who is deciding on who is taking the first place? Who told you that we're a front row minister? If God that decides on that decision is not given to any man, glory to God to make on behalf of God. The Bible says when you are committed to the truth, he said you are great in the sight of the Lord. There are people that are great in the sight of men today, but I've made up my mind. I want to be great in the sight of the Lord. I will not allow the devil to drive me mad. I will hang on my soul. I will hang on my mind on the truth of God's word. I will allow the truth of God's word to govern my soul. I will not allow my head to mislead me. I will not believe in what my brain is telling me. I will rather believe in what the truth of God's word says. I know this may be difficult for most of us because of the present excruciating challenges we have found ourselves today. Because of the protracted night seasons we have been through in our lives. Everything in our lives is going to come under a strong challenge. And we want to begin to think otherwise. We want to begin to believe the lies of the devil. No, I am who God says that I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, that Paul is not superior to Peter, and Peter is not superior to Paul. They are all servants of the Most High God. And you must see yourself as well. Don't believe the lies of the devil. I've seen a lot of people today who are ministers of God. They have stopped seeing themselves as the servants of God. They are playing the role of the masters of God. Why? Because the devil has taught them to a lie. You know, I went to an ordination service some time ago, and they are saying that this person has become a bishop, and they said to him, you are a right reverend. So, since you are not a right reverend, everything you do is right. In other words, you are not bound by the law of God any longer. You are given that you are not a servant of God, you are the master of God. That's the way a lot of people operate today, as if God is in their pocket. That you don't even need to consult God any longer. Just feed them. They will have to tell God what to do. They will have to, don't worry. It's my pocket. I control him. No, we are servants of God. If you don't believe in the truth of God's word, the devil will drive you mad. That's the reason for a lot of crazy things that people do today. And when you begin to play fool and you are trying to be funny like that, then the devil will definitely, you know, begin to laugh you to scorn because he knows you have been caught in his trap of deception. Don't believe you are not what God says you are. The Bible says, believe not more than what is written. He said, some said in the holy church, in the Corinthian church, we are for Paul, we are for Apollo. He said, who is Paul, who is Apollo? And are they not your servants of God, through whom God has brought the message of salvation to us? How I see that a messenger is more important than the one who sent me, who sent him. He said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And the reason why I chose you so that you can bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit if you don't learn to train your spirit to follow the truth. When the devil begins to feed you with such lies that you can break the laws of God and still go away with it. You can see yourself, you know, the way God has not placed you. The Bible says in Romans 12, it says, do not have an over-exaggerated opinion of your spiritual importance. That's why you see people today, they can do just anything. They live a life that is without restraint. Because the devil has told them, you are a super prophet. You are this, you are God. Believe not more than what is written. So you can maintain that servant spirit. Don't leave your toga of servanthood because Jesus lived as a servant. The Bible says, let this might be you as it is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter the height that God has set in your life. It doesn't matter the overseer of 10 million congregations, but you still see yourself as a servant of God. You still see yourself as an errand boy in the hand of the Lord. That's why, no, the spirit of pride and arrogance will not snatch away your destiny from your hand. When you make statements and you speak words, then it's tempered, you understand, with, you know, divine judgment. It's tempered with the character of God, simply because you've learned to follow the truth. When they wanted to make sacrifices for the apostles, they said one is Jupiter and one is another thing. And they said, no, we are men like you. Today, we don't have people who think like that we are men like you. We take sacrifices and oblation from other people. We take excessive adoration. We wish to be idolized. That's the cause of personality worship within the body of Christ today. It doesn't matter the way it works because it's part of their manipulation. They make you feel you are what you are not. It's not just that they want to ridicule you. It's not enough that they try to ridicule you and they know it doesn't work. They try to block you into pride by deceiving you Listen to me. You've got to learn to train your spirit. You've got to learn. Jesus was about being talked into heaven. They said, they want to make him to be a king. He said, oh, my kingdom is not of this world. They said, oh, I'm set to land this foot for me. He said, no, I'm not called to sell land this foot. I'm called to set the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want you to know the devil wants to snatch the best of your life out of your hand. If you don't train your spirit, the Bible says those guys were pursuing him. They have a chapter, took a chartered flag, a chartered boat to chase Jesus to the next village. And when you will think these people love God, and you know the only thing they came for, say, oh, we want you to be our king so that you continue to multiply fish and bread for us. He said, no, 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 I know why you guys are following me. The undoing of a lot of ministers today are their followers. They are a bunch of great singers. When that rich young man came to Jesus, he said, oh, good man, no one is good but the Father in heaven. You see, you must not surround yourself with psychopaths, praise singers, men who will make you to lose the consciousness of who God says you are. It is worth it that you don't lose your calling. On the account of pride and arrogance, a lot of people have buried their destiny. Destinies have been aborted because we've allowed the devil to talk us into a lie. Jesus rejected their offer. He called them to walk in the truth. He said, labor not for the meat that perishes, but spend your time and energy on things that is of eternal value. A lot of us cannot speak the truth in love any longer simply because we've received the praises of men. We don't want to be in the black book and the black record of anyone. Listen to me. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, if I still want to please men, then I'm not worthy of my calling. When you train your spirit to walk in the truth and you realize that your calling is not a product of, you know, a national election, it's a product of divine election, then you realize that you don't owe it to any man. You owe it all to God. You owe it all to God. You owe it all to God. You're not looking for a praise singer. He said, you know, when I came unto you, I've not come to you with enticing words of my wisdom. I've not come to flatter anyone. God will let you know and preach the word of God just as it is. He said, you know the things that I've been through. A lot of ministers, they will not allow their congregation to know things they are going through, forgetting that it takes the foolishness of the gospel to bring the lost to the salvation of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Simply because they feel, well, how difficult the way they will perceive me. But they have all been like that. They need somebody who can lift them up, who can pull them out of that mess. The Bible says there is no high priest that is taken, that is not taken from among men. He said, every high priest, you know, he said, is shared in the infirmities of the people. That's why Jesus himself becomes partaker of flesh and blood. He said, he was in all points tempted as we have. Yes, he did not say. Because we are going through challenges in your life today. And that doesn't make you to be less a true servant of God. You are not going out there to represent yourself, to present yourself to the people. You are going out there to represent the Most High God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's time for us to train our spirit to walk in the truth of God's word so that we're not going to pray for the perversity of our time. In the age of secularism, in the age of renegativity, we must come to realize that the word of God is absolute truth. It's a finality. We are committed to that so the devil cannot drive us now. We are who God says that we are. We are his servants. We are his messengers. We are not his masters. So pride does not have a place in our life. We are not because we have the money in the world, but because we are weak and lowly. He has chosen the foolish things of the world to compound the wise. Why are you ashamed to share that people that you have a calling, you have a church, you have a ministry? Learn to begin to train your spirit to walk in the truth. This is what the society believes. I refuse to call confederacy what they call confederacy. Let them all gather together as such as a head says. He said he will break them into pieces. It doesn't matter what they believe or that the world believe will come to naught. But when you believe in the truth and you begin to walk in the path of truth, listen to me. The Bible says eternity is waiting for you to come. I want to congratulate you for being part of this conference today. And I know God is having battle for your life. We're going to be sharing by the grace of God on training your spirit to walk in the truth in the age of perversity, when our society believes in something that is different from the word of God. thinking that we live a contracted life, squeezing out to his mold. We want to say we are strong in the Lord, and we will fulfill the purpose of God in our generation. God bless you. Speak to you next week by God's grace. Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Beloved, how can we know the truth unless we know him who is the truth? So that is why Paul begins to say in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And James chapter number 4, the word of the Lord says, God gives grace. He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to align with the word of God and to seek to know God, even as Paul had said. And John 14, number 6, the word of the Lord says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So to discover purpose, it is important to locate the creator and the designer and the configurator of divine purpose in our life. As we round up this session tonight, can we lift up our voices unto the Lord and thank God for the word of God to his servants? At the same time, we are saying to the Lord, I want to know I want to know you more. In all my life, in I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all of my life is no more. Beloved, this is, we have just 2 minutes. You want to say unto the Lord, reveal yourself unto me. No man can come unto me unless the Father draw him. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. Peter said, Matthew chapter 16, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. And beloved, the said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but it has been revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. But the revealer is God. And he has said, Father, reveal Christ to me and you afresh. Let put on the pocket to the door. Let the Christmas in the belly to the door. Make it was so full of the Lord. It's like a Christmas here. It's like a Christmas here. Father, reveal Christ to me. Reveal Christ to me. Reveal Christ to me. Look, those popular mega quads. And the little of the little of Nangla Custodia and Panova Custodia and Olavosi Apple. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying. Pastor said tonight, beloved, to each and every one of us, as our natural training has made us to have a routine whereby we only know what our senses, our feelings, our thoughts, has trained us to be. And many have been misdirected, and the world have become a casualty, even in whatever platform we find ourselves, because we have not learned to train our spirit. But today, Jesus himself said to his disciples, he said, many things I want to tell you, but you cannot handle them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. So the trainer is the Spirit of the living God. And you are saying, Spirit of grace, Spirit of the living God, teach me all things that I ought to know in God, that my life will be aligned, will be framed, will be configured, will follow after the truth of God's word. Spirit of the living God, train me, teach me, equip me, make me able to know the truth of the word of the Lord, that I will follow not as a religious duty, but my faith will be based upon the truth of God's word, that I will be a doer of the word and not just an hearer of God's word only. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, it's now a responsibility for you and I to run with the responsibility that accompanies the need to be taught of God, to know the truth, in order for us to be able to train ourselves adequately in the world. What you do not study, what you are not passionate about, you cannot learn of. So it is important that David will cry in Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things from your law, which is your word. Pastor said there is a need to develop our spiritual senses, because to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life forevermore. Therefore, you're going to say to the Lord tonight, I hand over my life unto you. Train me, teach me, educate me, reveal your word to me. In the mighty name of Jesus, you say to the Lord, reveal yourself to me, reveal your word to me. Open my eyes to behold wondrous things from your law. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, let kwazazia, for the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Let the spirit of the word of God find a place in my heart, that the life that is in the flesh, the life of Jesus, will become real to me. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, lekwazosika kwatolo brondegasiate, mekosuto lebrina nagazo, ezulo brondege kustosia, ondolobosiate. You want to make a declaration as we round up, and you are sent to the Lord, because it is written, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth maketh free. You are sent to the Lord, as Romans, as John chapter 8, verse 32 says, I will know the truth, and embedded in the truth is my freedom to live a godly life, a life that is pleasing unto God, a life that can withstand the storm of life. Therefore, you are saying, by the divine knowledge of the truth of God's word tonight, my Father, stabilize me in my walk with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let me take my roots deeper in God, and let, as a result of God's word, let me grow in relevance, in let me grow, in affecting life, extending the kingdom of God in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. For whatsoever a man does not have, he cannot give it. Therefore, my Father, let me take my root deeper in you and help me to be an instrument in your hand to fulfill your purpose, your plan, and your divine agenda in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. So mightily grew the word of God and it prevailed. Therefore, you said to the Lord, by the divine word of God, the revelation of your truth in my heart today, I prevail over every situation, over every circumstances, in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and declare, I am a victor. I will not be a victim. In the name of the Lord Jesus, say after me, the word of God is in me. The word of truth has a hold of me. The word of truth is what I live by. Therefore, I have believed in the word of the Lord, and it shall be unto me according to that which has been spoken of God. My spirit man is trained in the truth of God's word. I shall not be an hearer only. I will be a doer of the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God is life unto me. The word of God is light unto my path. By God's divine word, I have direction. I receive instruction. By God's divine word tonight, every darkness has been converted to divine light before me in the mighty name of Jesus. By the divine word of God, I know the truth that guides me, that leads me, that directs me in all of my ways in the name of Jesus. I'm spiritually minded, therefore the life of God is in me. I follow after the truth of God's word with divine passion in the name of the Lord Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in the name of Jesus. I refuse to idolize myself. I disallow pride in my heart in the name of Jesus. I humble myself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, and it shall lift me up in the name of Jesus. Many put their trust in chariots. Many put their trust in horses. But I place my trust in the unfailing, irresistible word of the living God. Therefore, by the word of the Lord, I overcome today. I am fruitful. I'm bearing much fruit in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I commit to serve the Lord, to love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with everything that is within me, in the name of Jesus. For the thoughts of God towards me, they are of peace and not of evil. They are to give me an expected end, a future, and a hope that is established in God. Therefore, the word of God is life unto me and health unto my flesh. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise tonight. We return the glory, we return the honor to you. We have embraced your word. As we go to effect your word in our lives, we decree and declare that your word will produce fruit that is visible, even in every area of our lives, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, by your divine word, we locate purpose. And therefore, by the truth of God's word that we are training our spirit with tonight, our purposes in life are developed. And therefore, we go forth to manifest purpose and manifest God in every platform of operations that you have given unto us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, unto you, the eternal King of glory, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, unto you that perform the word of your servant and that execute the word of your messenger, unto you that perform to perfection every word that you have spoken to us tonight, we yield our spirit to you, that you continue to enlarge our heart to grasp the truth of your word and to live by the truth of your word now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved,